The Senate will please come to order. Would the members please vote to signify their presence? Have all members voted? Would the Secretary close the roll?
The roll shows 20 senators present this morning.
May we stand in prayer, Reverend John Reimer.
Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you to bring our thanks for your goodness and love. It is because of your mercy that we are not consumed, for our iniquities have so often carried us away. We thank you that there is grace and forgiveness available from you to remove all our sin. We acknowledge that there are many occasions where our knowledge and experience are sadly inadequate to cope with the complex issues of life, yet we are expected to produce solutions. Your wisdom is great, O God, and we would ask for that wisdom that we might be enabled to make the right decisions. Help us to see the difference between that which is merely temporal and that which is lasting and worthwhile. Then give us the courage and the strength to build our lives with enduring qualities. Open our eyes to see the opportunity to enrich the life of some needy person today. Amen.
Secretary certifies correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 22nd legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 3.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 22nd legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 3 be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction?
Mr. President.
Senator Sackett.
I'd like to introduce to the body a friend of mine, the Vice President of the Nano Regional Corporation, John Shively.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, it's my privilege to introduce to you the nephew of our Secretary Peggy Mulligan, Mr. Jerry Eckert from Hood River, Oregon.
Nice to see you both today. Are the messages from the governor?
Message of February 1. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 237 Resources CC, amending the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act and providing for an effective date. Chapter 7, Session Laws, 1982. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor.
There is a message from the Governor and the Lieutenant Governor that was placed in your boxes this morning. Would that message now be read?
Message of January 25. Dear Mr. President, I have carefully considered the less than harmonious state of relations which now exists between the legislative and the executive branches of state government. I believe the situation exists partly from the fact that CSSS SB 162 Finance, effective date failed House, was transmitted to my office over the protests of the Speaker of the House. Members of the House of Representatives have complained that the manner of transmittal has deprived them of a vote on final passage of that bill. They have also alleged that the bill was prematurely transmitted to me and, as a matter of law, pends further action in the legislature. Because I have served as a former member of the legislature, I can understand these feelings expressed by the members of the House in an effort to improve relations between the executive branch and both houses of the legislature. I have requested the Lieutenant Governor to relinquish possession of SB 162 to me, and he has complied with my wishes. I am, by this letter, transmitting SB 162 back to you for whatever action you consider appropriate. While it is the position of my administration that CSSS SB 162 Finn Effective Failed House has become law pursuant to the Constitution, I am nevertheless taking this action as a matter of comedy and out of respect for the rights and privileges accorded to a coordinate branch of government. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. And the covering letter, attached letter from Lieutenant Governor submitting the bill.
Would you read the Lieutenant Governor's statement? Do you have that?
Yes, I do. January 26, 1982, Dear Governor Hammond, In response to your request that I relinquish CSSS SB 162 Finn effective date failed House to you, I am returning this legislation as an enclosure. As required by law, I certify that the enclosed legislation is the original CSSS SB 162 Finn effective date failed House as filed in my office. Sincerely yours, Terry Miller, Lieutenant Governor, subscribed and sworn to me before this date, 22nd of January, AD 1982, a notary, Nancy Schaufelberger.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate rescind its action and adopt in the free conference committee report on Senate Bill number 162.
Ask unanimous consent.
Ask unanimous consent.
The question is, shall the Senate rescind its action adopting the free conference committee report on Senate Bill 162? There are a series of actions will, after three different motions, put us in position for adopting the House amendment, which was merely the effective date clause failure, so that the bill will have passed and been sent back to the governor in what is a legal format without question by either body. That is really what the exercise is, Senator. Mr. Rules Chairman, would be at ease to order, because there might well be some concerns and a bit of confusion, because this is one of the few times that this step has been taken over the years of my service. After action on this particular motion, the bill will be left on the Secretary's desk, and your consideration of two further motions that will presumably adopt the House amendment, which was merely the effective date clause deletion. That will be up for us after you've all had a chance to look at any possible concern you might have on the legislation. I think that's fair. The question before us, when the at ease was called, was the following. The question is, shall the Senate rescind its action in adopting the free conference report on Senate Bill 162? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
So the Senate has rescinded its action on Senate Bill 162. There will be further motions at a subsequent time after every member has had an opportunity to look into this matter. Are there further messages from the governor?
There are no other messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Are there messages from the House?
The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Joint Resolution Number 30, amended by Representatives Fanning, Abood, Brown, Bilsma, Moss, Phillips, Randolph, and Rogers, relating to military maneuvers in Alaska on federally managed land.
To the State Affairs Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 by Representatives Cato, Barnes, and Grusendorf, relating to the 14th Annual Girls' State at the Sitka Public Safety Academy.
State Affairs.
Those are the messages from the House today.
Are there communications?
A report to the Legislature 1981 was received from the Alaska Commission on the Conference of the Law of the Sea. The report is available in the Senate Secretary's office. Senator Ray received a report from the Haines Senior Citizen, January 19th. Would you please present this thank you card to the legislature on behalf of the Haines Senior Citizens in appreciation for our new Haines Senior Citizen Center and to you for all your help. Though we weren't able to follow through with the plans to purchase and renovate the old fire hall for a center, a builder offered to build and fully equip a new center for the $150,000. Hard to believe, but it is built. We should be moving in soon, and we plan on an open house. We do hope it will be at a time when the legislature can attend. Yours sincerely, Rosemary Jager, site manager. Those are the communications today.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
If I might just speak on that last communication.
You have the floor, Senator, without objection.
I believe that everybody got a copy of the card, and I would just like to draw your attention to the years of residence in Alaska. I think the top one was 91 years living in Alaska, and the bottom one was something like 37 or in that area. But it does go to show that the Alaskans do appreciate the efforts of the legislature, particularly the old-timers.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I'd like to know where that builder is.
That's a mean to me, too.
Are there further communications?
There are no other communications.
The letter from the Speaker of the House, has that been read, that involves the invitation to the Yukon Exposition, or to the invitation to the Yukon Assembly to a session with us?
No, sir. I didn't bring it in with me. Would you like me to get it?
Oh, we can read that tomorrow.
Okay.
I know it was personal. I presume it was personal, but it should be read to the body. Are there reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 289, increasing the number of Superior Court judges, and recommends that it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Judiciary, and reports that back as follows. Senator Rohde, Chairman, signed, do pass. Senators Ray and Parr signed, no recommendation. SB 289 has a further referral to Finance. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 485, permitting the videotaping of testimony of young victims of sexual assault or sexual abuse of a minor, and Senate Bill number 547, permitting videotaping of or the exclusion of the public during testimony of young victims of sexual assault, and recommends that the Judiciary Committee substitutes on both these bills be placed on the calendar with the bill. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Dankers, Ziegler, and Ferguson. These two bills do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Reports of special committees?
We have no special committee reports.
There are no resolutions for introduction?
We have no resolutions.
Bills for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill number 702 by Senators Sackett, Barenkamp, and Krutula. An act transferring parts of a certain fiscal year 1982 Agricultural Action Council appropriation allocations to the Nanana Tolchaket Agricultural Development Project and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 703 by Senator Bradley. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game for payment as a grant to Alaska Maritime Research Incorporated for a study of shellfish in the Bering Sea and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 704 by Senator Bradley. An act relating to memorials for servicemen and to Alaskan Servicemen's Memorial at Veterans Lake and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill number 705 by Senator Bradley, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Military Affairs for construction of the Alaskan Servicemen's Memorial at Veterans Lake and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill number 706 by Senator Bradley, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for construction of a caretaker facility for the Alaska Servicemen's Memorial at Veterans Lake in Denali State Park and providing for an effective date.
Giving it to State Affairs and Finance, but it obviously has a resources concern, and I would wish the Resources Committee to look at 706, 707, 704, so that they're satisfied. You may proceed.
Senate Bill number 707 by Senator Bradley. An act relating to the naming of geographic features in the state and renaming Byers Lake as Veterans Lake and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill number 708 by Senator Bradley. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health, for payment as a grant to Alaska Medevac System Incorporated for emergency medical evacuation programs and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill number 709 by Senators Ferguson and Sackett, an act relating to the creation of the Alaska Federal Budget Impact Fund and providing for an effective date.
I've looked at that, and I believe now Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
Those are the new bills today.
Takes us down to the daily calendar. We have a calendar of some substance. Secretary may read the Senate Bill 485.
Senate Bill number 485 by Senators Parr and Fisher, an act permitting the videotaping of testimony of young victims of sexual assault or sexual abuse of a minor, and changing Rule 804, Alaskan Rules of Evidence, relating to exceptions to the hearsay rule. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass, signed Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senators Fisher and Kelly. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and a majority due pass, signed Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring Senators Parr, Ray, and Bennett. There is a committee substitute.
To the committee substitute.
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Do you ask unanimous consent?
Just a brief explanation first, Mr. President. There were two bills relating to videotaping of sexual assault in committee. One bill was used to deal with the topic of permitting the videotaping of testimony of young victims of sexual assault. The second bill, which is next on the calendar, was used as a method of dealing strictly with the question of limiting public access to the trial of victims, young victims of sexual assault. And we're dealing now with the Judiciary Committee substitute, which deals strictly with the videotaping questions. I would ask unanimous consent, Mr. President.
There being no objection, Secretary, read the title of this bill.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 485, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act permitting the videotaping of testimony of young victims of sexual offenses and changing Rule 804, Rule of Evidence, relating to exceptions to the hearsay rule.
As you know, we are changing a court rule.
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 485 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed for final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 485 is in third reading. The Secretary reads the bill.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 485, Judiciary, an act permitting the videotaping of testimony of young victims of sexual offenses and changing Rule 804, Rule of Evidence, relating to exceptions to the hearsay rule.
Senate Bill 485 is before you for discussion, debate, I think a brief explanation. Senator?
Mr. President, a very brief explanation. I believe the bill is self-explanatory. It provides for the videotaping of the testimony of a young victim of sexual assault upon application by the prosecuting attorney and noted to the defendant. The court shall then permit the videotaping. The trial judge presides at the videotaping, and there is, of course, no diminution of the defendant's constitutional right of cross-examination. It's a very straightforward bill, and one that we've drafted with extreme care, Mr. President.
Are you ready for the question?
Offer the question.
The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 485 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
Senate Bill 485 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I would move that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on Section 2.
Being no objection, so ordered. Next bill before us.
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
Parliamentary inquiry to the chair. Would you prefer that we vote separately on those clauses and bills which do change court rules?
It bothers me some not to vote separately, but unanimous consent was accorded, and I think that's sufficient. I think that's it's well recognized as with much precedent, and the bill was unanimously accepted. Thank you, Senator. Secretary, please read the next bill, 547.
Senate Bill Number 547 by Senators Bradley, Dankworth, Eliason, Fisher, Gilman, Kelly, and Stimson. an act permitting the videotaping of or the exclusion of the public during testimony of young victims of sexual assault or sexual abuse of a minor, and changing Rule 804 Alaskan Rules of Evidence relating to exceptions to the hearsay rule. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Parr, and Bennett. There is a committee substitute.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 547. Mr. President, by way of brief explanation, this is the exclusion of a portion of the public from the trial, and this was part of the videotaping bill. It was felt it was better to put it into a separate bill. I would ask unanimous consent, Mr. President.
Senator Ray, are you objecting?
Just for a parliamentary inquiry,
you have the floor, Senator.
Substantial change in the title of this bill, and I wonder if our rules cover that now, that we have to change the title, or we agree, or if the vote itself shows that there is a majority or the necessary votes to change the title. It is a substantial change, and what I'm getting at is I want it. I want
reasonable
it for the
question. We'll call it in these. Senator Rohde, rules change. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, Senator Ray's point is well taken. First, the rule change that the distinguished senator referred to does not go into effect until the end of this session. Secondly, the language in this bill was that we have before us, in the committee substitute, rather, was contained in the original bill. A portion of that bill deleting with videotaping was deleted and retained in the previous bill we passed. That should be noted on the record for the title change.
Yes. Would the Senator Ray withdraw his objection?
Yes, sir. As long as it's noted in the journal that we have recognized there is a substantial title change, because Mason's Manual still provides, and that's, we're still operating under Mason's Manual, provides that the title changes are not to be made unless there's some notification made.
Objection withdrawn. We have adopted the committee substitute. Will the Secretary read the new title?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 547, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act permitting the exclusion of the public during testimony of young victims of sexual offenses. There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 547 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed for final passage.
Objection so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 547, Judiciary, an act permitting the exclusion of the public during testimony of young victims of sexual offenses.
Senate Bill 547 has amendments before you for discussion debate. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, a brief explanation of the bill. It provides for a limited exclusion of the public from the trial of a victim of a young victim of sexual assault. Obviously, under the Constitution, the limitation cannot be complete, because of the requirements of a public trial. The provision is one of application to the court. Again, that's a constitutional requirement. It is not a mandatory in every case requirement. The public would include the judge, the jury, the defendant, the attorney, the investigator for the defendant, the prosecuting attorney, the investigating officer, the parent or legal guardians of the child, a guardian ad litem, and at the discretion of the court, an adult who has worked with the child, the court personnel and members of the press. Quite frankly, Mr. President, that's a fairly long list, and it does ensure within the constitutional framework that there will be, quote, a public trial within the meaning of the Constitution, but there will be a minimum of individuals in the courtroom that would have an significant impact on a very young victim who was testifying in open court.
Are you ready for the questions, Senator Wright?
Just briefly, this eliminates the thrill seeker, that's all.
You ready for the question? The question is, committee substitute for Senate Bill 547 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the Secretary close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
Any substitute Senate Bill 547 has passed the Senate.
Citation?
Yes, takes us to the citation calendar.
Citation honoring George Max, Handicapped Alaskan of the Year by Senator Eliason.
Rody?
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. Citation calendar honoring George Max has been adopted by the Senate unanimously. Takes us to unfinished business. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I would move that my reconsideration of SJR 54 be taken up at this time.
There being no objection, it's before us. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution number 54, amended by Senator Parr, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the confirmation of appointments by the Governor on reconsideration.
Senator Rody.
Mr. President, given the circumstance, I would move and ask unanimous consent that SJR 54 be returned to the Rules Committee.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 54, and return to the Rules Committee. Senator Ray. We are down to unfinished business, Senator Ray.
I would suppose this is unfinished business. The business started some time ago, but it culminated into, at least it came to a purpose, I believe, yesterday or the day before. And I'm referring to the problem in the other house with one of the members making the allegations. I know that you sent the letter to the Attorney General, and I had heard the media response, or at least on the media, a response from an under-Attorney General. And I was just hoping that this was not the culmination, or this was the finish of it. I would like something of official nature from the Attorney General himself.
Senator Ray, a copy, of course, was given to all members, and only these members, so far as I know, of the letter to the Attorney General that was written. I think it was consensus of the Senate, certainly many members of the Senate, that something ought to be done. I have not heard officially or unofficially by anyone from the Attorney General's office. I share and join in your remarks on this subject. We will expect the Attorney General to respond. You have the floor, Senator Dankworth.
Well, if we're going to speak under unfinished business on this matter, which I suppose it is, I just wanted to add to that. I did.
There's no objection in case it comes perilously close to special orders.
Well, it does, I suppose, but I think it's really unfinished business in the sense that it is an issue before the Senate. I did hear a comment from the Attorney General's office that said that they didn't want to be drawn into any thing between the House and the Senate of this nature. I don't know whether they are aware of it or not, but there is that issue between in this legislature right now. And for someone to have made a statement that he has witnessed bribes and vote buying and things of that type in the halls of this legislature, I've said this once before on the floor, that I want them prosecuted. And I think that it's not a case of the Attorney General just making a comment that he doesn't want to get involved in some frivolous argument. If Mr. Fanning will get up and say that it was frivolous and that it was not true, then I'll shut up. But until he's willing to do that, I'm included in that indictment that he's made publicly, and it's been played in the newspapers and on the air, that he has witnessed these crimes. And I want to see who's doing it, and I want him prosecuted. And if failure to do that, I want to insist on an admission from him that it was a frivolous political statement based on no facts, or it is, one of the two. And I hope, sir, that you'll continue to press the Attorney General for that opinion.
Probably the first letter I have ever written on this subject in any position in either body, and I certainly expect the Attorney General to acknowledge and to act. I don't think there's any doubt that he will. You have the floor, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, just a brief question to Senator Ray or Senator Dankworth. Has anyone from the Attorney General's office, other than the Attorney General himself, responded or made any public statements on this issue?
You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Well, Mr. President, the only representative reference I have is on this morning on one of the local stations' news broadcast, and there was a reference to, I believe the name was Assistant Attorney General Jim Baldwin, was the one that made the remarks that, and I gave the inference, at least to me, that they weren't interested in it and they weren't going to fool around because it was just election year or electioneering, election political comments, political had some word to it, grandstanding by the representative from the House. I joined with Senator Thankworth, and that's not enough. I believe that if these things are happening, certainly we have enough problems right now, and frivolous allegations, unfounded statements should be identified to at least help clear the image of the legislature as a body in itself. If these are true, certainly the perpetrators or the people that are doing these things should be identified and proper charges brought against them.
Mr. Rules, Chairman.
Well, Mr. President, very briefly, I spoke to the Attorney General last night at about 5 o'clock our time. He was in Denver. He wasn't going to be back until this evening, so perhaps we'll be able to talk to him tomorrow.
And certainly the Attorney General will have time to respond.
We have a brief meeting.
We'll be at ease. Announcement of committee meetings. Mr. Finance Chairman.
Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we previously announced SB 64, an act relating to allocations for projects financed by general obligation bonds, will be up. Next Tuesday, we will be taking up at 9 o'clock SB 488 and the companion bill 489, an act directing the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska to establish a general endowment.
Mr. Rules, Chairman.
Mr. President, the Rules Committee will meet at 1 o'clock today in the Butteridge on SSR1.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, State Affairs Committee will meet at 1:30 today in room 423 Capitol on Senate Bill 630 dealing with sunset provisions, Senate Resolution 20 dealing with installation teleconference facilities in pioneers' homes, Senate Bill 632 relating to games of chance and contests of skill.
Senator Mulcahy, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce will be meeting February 8th at 3 p.m. in the Buttrevich Room. We'll have before it SB 513, an act relating to the Athletic Commission, SB 590, an act establishing a revolving loan fund in Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, SB 611, an act revising the criminal penalties for unlawful operation of aircraft, and SB 614, an act making a special appropriation to the Rural Electrification Revolving Loan Fund.
For the resources chairperson, which could you tell me, is the coal conference and the energy conference on the 14th, 15th of this month? Could you give me the times?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, the coal conference is on the 18th and 19th in Anchorage.
The 18th and 19th of the month. There has been a suggestion, and we'll bring it up on another day, that since Lincoln's birthday falls on the 12th and Washington's the 15th, Valentine's Day the 14th, that being a long weekend, that this might be the time, the 12th, and that, I'm speaking of February, the 12th and the 14th are possible days for consideration of a three-day weekend. Of course, the 14th is a Sunday.
Mr. President,
Senator Parr.
I'd also like to remind the body that the Arctic Winter Games will be taking place in Fairbanks, and that we have a number of us had resolutions from various city councils and so forth asking us to take a three-day weekend on that same weekend, I believe.
It's around the 1st of March, isn't it, or is it this
week?
No,
sir, I think it's the, as I remember without looking, and I wasn't prepared for this, but I think it's the weekend of the 14th that you're talking about in March.
It may.
In March, yes, sir, not 14 drinks a day. If a three-day weekend we're considering, I'd certainly like us to consider that one.
Well, it's been brought to my attention several times, so I did want to bring it up. And I was checking to make sure where the coal conference, a number of members wish to go to that coal conference. It'll be before us in another day, just so that everybody has their attention. Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, there'll be no Republican luncheon today.
Are there items under special orders? Senator Sturgill-Lewis.
Yes, I'd move and ask unanimous consent to address the body very briefly on the report that was laid on the desk regarding Legislative Budget and Audit Committee oversight requirements.
You have the floor without objection, Senator Sturgill-Lewis.
Mr. President, I'm well aware that we're contributing perhaps to paper pollution in this interim report, and I hesitate to urge yet more reading upon you, but the bill in 1980 setting up the permanent fund place some very specific responsibilities with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee in the area of oversight of the lending and investment programs. And we've taken a pretty major crack at it. And I would hope that you at least take time to look on the report to page 20 and 21, which lays out the work that we feel needs to be done throughout the balance of this year and a portion of next year in order to comply with that responsibility that was given to the committee. Basically, we've done some major things in the having work done in the prudent investor rule and what that means with the permanent fund. We've taken a look at public corporations, and I think that's becoming increasingly important because we're putting a whole lot of dollars in public corporations that, in a sense, are outside of the purview of the legislative appropriation process, and so I think we need to continue work there. We've also done some work with the whole performance oversight in terms of a contract or two, and we've set up a policy so that the committee as a whole adopts the work program. Any contracts that go through a specific committee procedure, but we've been doing a lot of work, and from time to time, why we'll keep this body informed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Parr, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on banking?
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, just to set the record straight, I believe you put in members' boxes a little news item about the possibility of an out-of-state bank coming in and taking over and buying out a bank in Alaska. And we all know that was up last year, and I think a number of us opposed any of this thing because it was a special one-shot deal for one bank. The only thing I wanted to comment on is this article quoted some unnamed banker as saying that the legislature was going to jam this thing down their throats anyway, and that was the reason that the bankers had changed their position. Well, at least one other member of this body and I met with bankers during the fall, and one of the topics of discussion was that. And at least the impression that these bankers gave to me was that they had dropped their opposition to such action because they figured that the federal government is going to jam it down their throats, not the state. And they were willing to go along with the state, with the state law on the subject instead. And I do not know where any impression came from this banker head that the legislature was planning to jam it down their throats. And so I think the record ought to be clear on that.
I think that I should comment just to this extent. That was a copy of something I found in the Post-Intelligencer a couple of weeks ago before it was broadly acknowledged in this state. It's interesting that the Rainier Bank officials should be the ones to comment. I personally have been opposed to the legislation, so that's the reason, of course, I brought it before you. Are there further items under special orders? Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, if there's no further business to come before the Senate, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We are adjourned.